to see. Appreciate Brother Tim pressing through this morning, just a little bit under the weather. Amen. I appreciate each one of you coming. I know God's people are soldiers. Soldiers fight battles.
Right.
And so it's always good to see believers come to the house of God,
right,
trusting in the Lord. Amen. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. We're going to press our way through the battles of the day. Amen. So just appreciate each one of you. Go ahead and open our Bibles to St. John chapter 6. Just a couple of short scriptures. St. John chapter 6, verse 63. Yeah. St. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus speaking, he says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing.
Right.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life."
Amen.
The words that his word and the words he speaks, they are spirit, and they are life.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me."
Amen.
And you know, supper is the last meal of the day. So this is the last age, last church age. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, as we come to you this morning, just want to thank you for this opportunity. Lord, once again, to stand and be here in this place with your people, and for each one to come and gather in and just let it be known that Lord, we're on your side. And so, Lord, we know that as we stand for your word, then you'll stand with us. And that's what we want to do today. Lord, we want to stand firm to your word, and especially the word that has been revealed for this hour, that's so special for this hour. We just want to hold true to that, and Lord, that it would become fully fruitful in our lives. And so, Lord, as we've sung this morning in the special, it was sung, Lord, we just pray, God, that this would be the success of the day, Lord, that you'd be able to live through our lives pertinent to this hour. We appreciate everything that you do for us, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I mean, loves the Lord.
Amen.
Let's see your hands. Amen. We love the Lord.
Yes.
He's good to us. I know for a fact he's been good to me.
Yes.
Amen. And that's no argument at all. It's just, that's the way it is. And I kind of feel like Brother Perry Green is, you know, when it's my testimony, then you don't have any right to question it. It's what I'm saying. It's my testimony. I don't want to question it, but you don't have a right to disagree with it. You know, when someone tells you God has helped them, then you know, that's their testimony.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Your testimony helps others. You telling your testimony helps you.
That's right.
Amen. We know that and we believe that. And so this morning I want to continue on with this little series I've been doing of Come Out and Hurt My People. Did a different title, subtitle today. And that is to bringing back the voice of God to the church. Amen. In the first part, I didn't really call it Come Out of Her My People. It was spiritual fornication. If you remember, we talked there about how that at one time all people believed in one God, and Satan got in the midst of everything and began to cause people to believe that there's more than one God, believe and come up with all kinds of different worships. And in essence, what he did was he caused people to pull away from the Word of God, because the Word is how God expresses himself to us. That's how we know him.
Right.
That is how that the invisible God in that realm that he dwells in, that's how we know that he's there, is because he sent forth his word to us. And that word actually became flesh and became Jesus.
That's right.
Right? Even if it's not in flesh like it was 2,000 years ago, this Bible, this word is God's presence here with us.
Right.
That invisible God can be seen when we look to this word. We can see him. When we look and study this word, we can find out what is on the mind of God. And these words that we, as we read there in the scriptures, these words, they are spirit and they are alive.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And so God, Satan went and he caused people to begin to pull away from the Word of God, and pulling away from the Word meant that people was no longer truly fellowshipping with God, and they begin to fellowship in different directions and in multiple gods, because really there's only one true God, right? That's our Creator. And so then, but the word God means an object of worship, and so people worship all kinds of things. And so, but what that does is when Satan tricks people, whether they know it or not, and he pulls them away from believing the Word of God, then that makes them, if they become idolaters, and they become guilty of spiritual fornication. Because we are to be, we know as a church, we are to be the wife of Jesus Christ. And so even if people don't believe it, even if they don't think that they are idolaters, they can be, and many of them are, because they're believing false teachings and false doctrines. See, God knows who he is. He knows himself, and he is the Word. So he knows what is his Word and what is not his Word.
Right?
He understands that, and he knows that the way that we worship him is to recognize his Word and to worship him according to that Word. So if he says, don't steal, we worship God by not stealing. Right? If he says, don't lie, we worship God by not lying.
Right?
Right? Do you understand? Don't commit adultery. We worship God by... And it is the whole Bible, all the things that God has delivered to us as a way to live, we worship God by living that way.
Right.
And when we do that, that worship goes to him. And when we get tricked by Satan in believing that, well, God really doesn't require us to do it that way, even though he says it in his Word, and that's the way we worship God, we believe something else, then when we worship a contrary, then the worship goes to Satan, the author of that false word, rather than worship going to God, who's the author of the true word.
Right?
Right? And so that God knows what portion he is, what is his Word and what isn't, and he's a jealous God. The scriptures tell us he's jealous. Right? I would tell you that if I walked up Calvary and I died for you, and you started giving recognition to somebody else, I would be jealous.
Yeah, right?
Right? Why? Because I was the one that paid the price,
that's
right? And that's the way he is.
He
has bought us. He has purchased us. He paid it all. It all belongs to him. He needs all recognition, and that recognition doesn't need to go anywhere else. It all to him and none anywhere else.
Amen. Right?
Right? And so he becomes jealous when that happens. And so when we are to be his wife, and then while we're worshiping through other things, that makes us guilty of spiritual fornication.
Right.
Right? Because instead of being true to our husband, the Word, Christ, the Word, we're believing and acting out. And we as a female, as a church,
yeah,
we're impregnated by the Word we entertain.
Yeah. Right.
And so then we birth, we express, we live. We bring offspring to the word that we believe.
Right.
Right? So if it's a false word, we bring false children to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so was part one, spiritual fornication. And then part two was the revealing of Christ. And we get this, this whole come out of her, my people, is from Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, 5, 6, right in there. And so we know that is something that happens here at the end time, that God has a message that says, come out of her, my people, that come out of her, the false church, come out of her, my people. And the way God does that simply is by bringing forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. All the mysteries of the Word that were hidden throughout all the ages, all the things that, you know, so many churches disagree with each other because they didn't have an ultimate. But God has promised here at the end time that he would bring this back out once again and vindicate it truthfully. And then at that time, we all churches have the responsibility to turn to that, to reject their denominational creeds, and come back to this restored word that has been made alive in front of us in our day. They have that responsibility. And so the way God calls all of his children out of these denominational systems is just simply by bringing forth the revelation of Jesus Christ in power and demonstration, like he has in our day.
Right.
and made this word alive so that people really, if they deny it, it's because they just don't want to see it. Or if they deny it, it's because they don't want to be part of it.
Right.
It's like my Aunt Mary and I were talking this morning, and she was saying, you know, if people are serious about it, it's there. It's right there.
Right there.
Right? There's no question about it. And so, but you can't take part of the scripture. You got to take all the scriptures. And if you take all the scriptures, then this thing that God is doing in our day is very clear. It's right there for all to behold. And so if people don't want to come to it, it's because they're in darkness themselves. You know, Jesus said that this is condemnation. That light has been manifested in this world. And men, because their deeds were evil, they wouldn't come to that light because that light exposes them.
Right.
And so he said, that's the condemnation. It's not condemnation that you're a sinner. What's the condemnation is that when the gospel is preached and you reject it, then that's the condemnation.
Right.
Because he's showing you the way out. The way out of sinful nature and all the things that bring sorrow and death to this world. He's showing us a way out. And when we won't take that, then now that's what brings condemnation upon us.
Right.
Amen. And so the way he brings his people out of mystery Babylon, that false church system, the way he does that is by simply bringing forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the churches throughout the ages, all they have seen, for the most part, especially in our day, is just all they've seen is creeds and dogmas of man and injections of man into the Word, man making it out to be something different. And you know, it's the Word is a seed. And when you take a seed, when you hybrid it, then it's no longer... It no longer can produce the original.
Right?
Once you take two different types of tomato seeds or two tomato plants and you crossbreed them, you'll get something out of it, but you'll never be able to go back to the original.
Yep.
And I happen to believe that the way God made things in the first place was the original. And in that original, it was a perfect expression of what he wanted, what he sent forth. But when man got involved, began to mix things together, now there are seeds here on this earth. There's things on this earth that was not part of God's original creation. It was it's a hybrid.
Right.
And you can take those hybrid seeds, and I don't care what you do with them. You'll never be able to take them and bring them back to the original.
Right.
So the only way back to the original is for the original spoken word that created them in the first place, for that to come on the scene and to speak once again and create an original creation.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can come back to it.
Right.
Amen. So all he has to do, I mean, that's all she's seen is creeds and dogmas and injections of man's. And it was that way in Jesus' time, the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's all. They had gotten all wrapped up into something else. But God knows that all he has to do is bring his word to his people and they catch it.
Right.
He said, my sheep know my voice and they won't follow another one.
Right.
May say it this way, they might follow some other voice until they hear his voice. But when they hear his voice, they're not going to be following somebody else.
That's right.
Right? We know that. And so just let her, let his wife, let the bride of Christ to be, let her catch a glimpse of him. And her heart is smitten. And she doesn't want anyone else.
Right.
But him, Christ the Word.
Amen.
So that was Revealing of Christ, part two. And so in the Revelation chapter 18, we didn't read it today because we've read it several times, but there was a voice that came from heaven that said, the voice came from heaven. Remember in the scriptures that said an angel came down from heaven, a mighty angel, and the whole entire earth was lighted with his glory. And he made this proclamation that Babylon is fallen. Babylon being false church systems. So we know that angels can be a man. Right? We know that. Angels can be a man. Angels can be some creature with wings on his back come from heaven. But angel can be your whoever's preaching to you behind the pulpit on any given day. Because the scripture said these angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. He doesn't send them forth to minister to somebody else. But he sends forth, because God is very clear in his program. He knows what he's doing. So he sends forth his angels to minister to his people.
Yes, that's right.
What he wants them to have.
Right.
Right? And so this angel, we know that heaven, where God dwells, he dwells in his word. And so it doesn't mean some angel come out of the skies. What it's saying is there is that coming from the word was a ministry. A ministry coming forth that God was going to use in this day, and he would step onto this day, and what he stepped into was a world full of false religion.
Yeah.
Right. That God calls Babylon, Mystery Babylon. And so this angel come and that ministry, and what would he come? He come into the midst of all that, and he'd have to make a proclamation to the world, lighting the whole world with his message. In other words, his message would go all around the planet.
Right.
And he would have to say, this system that you're looking at, of all these creeds and dogmas and all that, this system of Babylon is fallen.
Amen.
Right? God's no longer in it. This is your Bible.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
It's not just somebody that, hey, we come up with some doctrine. This is your Bible. So he would have to say those things, that, hey, this Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. And he did such a good job at that, that the next verse there, Revelation 18:4, then this voice from heaven speaks, right? This voice of God, bringing the voice of God back to his people. The voice of God spoke and said, come out of her. Come out of who? The Babylon that this messenger just declared, this messenger with a powerful ministry that lighted the whole earth. And he had a ministry that you had to reckon with. And he had the presence of God with him and all these things. And when he said it's fallen, then we got to take notice that a ministry like that, when he said it's fallen, then it's fallen.
Right.
Right? And right after that happened, then God says, now, I'm paraphrasing, now that you know what she is, and now that you know that she's fallen, get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Get out of it. Hallelujah. A voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people.
Yes.
Right after that angel spoke what he did. So that's why I'm titling it this morning, Bringing Back the Voice of God to the Church. Right. Amen.
Amen.
If you notice there in that when that voice said, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. It goes on to say, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.
Right.
So God is speaking this. God is saying, my angel messenger has done such a great job of declaring to you that system is no good. And now I'm telling you, God's now speaking out of his word. He's saying, out of his word, you now have seen this. Now come out of that, because I'm fixing to judge that system.
Yes.
I'm fixing to judge it, and I want you to come out of it, because as long as you're there, I'll have to judge you too. Okay. Right? And so he says, come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you no longer do what she's doing. And we understand that sin really is unbelief. Right?
That's right.
Sin is unbelief. So God is saying, come out of her, that you be not partakers of her unbelief.
Right.
That you no longer believe things that aren't right.
Right.
Because when you believe the wrong thing, you have the wrong spirit.
Right.
Right? So come out of her, those that you're no longer partakers of that you no longer have the wrong spirit, that you're no longer guilty of fornication, because that's why she's a whore.
Right.
Come out so that you're not part of that.
Amen.
Amen. So, that's what he spoke, because he says, you know, we know God has to judge her because he's already declared that he would.
Yes.
And God has to do what he says he's going to do.
Amen.
Amen. But he has to call his bride out first. So, we all have to admit that, you know, before we heard that there was an end time message, we were influenced by false things, false teachings. But we have to come to grips with understanding that the very purpose of an end time message is to correct all those things in our lives.
That's
to
right.
get us to stop acting and believing and doing and celebrating all the things that that system has done.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. There's two things that will keep a person from heaven. Actually, it's really one thing, unbelief. Sin is unbelief.
That's right.
But I'll break it down into the two that I just want to talk about. And one is just the fact that we come into this world with a fallen nature. Because of sin in the garden, we're all born. Scripture says we come into the world speaking lies, shaping iniquity, and speaking lies. We come with that nature. And because of that, then we cannot be part of the kingdom of heaven in that form. It's like I said the other day that I think I said this. We all want to go to heaven, right? We all want to be there. And so I think I asked, well, when we get there, do you want heartache to be there? Do you want lying to be there? Or adulteries to be there? Pain and sorrow and deception. Do we want any of that there? And I said, well then, and we all say, no, we don't want any of that. We know the Bible says those things won't be there,
right?
But and so we would all, and we all say, well, no, we wouldn't want that there. And what I said the other day was, then we can't take it there.
That's right.
So if we're there,
right,
we can't take the spirit of unbelief there.
That's right.
Because we believe wrong things.
Right.
So God has to correct it to get his bride on the right word so that she has the right spirit behind that word. And that word and that spirit that she believes in and acts out and lives will not be offensive to that kingdom, so she's welcome there. Because he won't let it be there otherwise.
Right?
So we all know, it doesn't take rocket science, we all know lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, cheating is wrong, committing adultery is wrong, you name it, it's wrong.
Right.
We all know that.
Do
we all have to admit that we're born in that first birth and we need something to get this thing off of us so we can go there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're all leaving here one day.
Yes, amen.
One way or the other.
Right.
So between now and then, we God has sent his word to help us with that. And so, you know, we come into the world with that fallen nature. And you've heard the phrase that sin will take you further than you want to go.
That's right.
It'll keep you longer than you want to stay.
That's right.
And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Because Satan's job is to make it look like it's okay until he has you, until he has the hook set. And when he has the hook set, then you realize, and we've all been there, mess around with something until we mess around and finally get bit. And then we wish we hadn't have done it.
Right.
It's a whole, that's human, that's part of the fallen nature.
Right.
That's part of the fallen nature to go ahead and test the limits.
Yeah.
It's part of fallen nature to go ahead and do the things that we think, you know, because Satan makes it look like it's good, because we're failing to realize that death lies just beyond there.
Right.
And so we just kind of do it anyway, and it's part of that fallen nature to procrastinate, put off and to lie to ourselves and not admit the truth. That's part of that fallen nature, right? Because in God's kingdom, and with his spirit and his anointing, his word upon you, then we accept truth and we believe truth and we act truth and we don't deny truth. We right. believe it. And so that's the way it works. So sin will take us further than we want to go. And it'll be the price to pay to rid ourselves of sin was much more than we can pay. We have to have a Jesus, a Christ to get involved who right. bore that price for us because we can't do it.
Right.
We have to have that. We all need him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the scripture tells us that the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And
yeah.
when we're born in that first fallen nature that we all come into the world with, we have no strength to fight against this devil.
Right.
He just mops the floor with us. That's why I say that if you're not surrendered to Christ, you don't know what Satan's going to make you be. You might be an alcoholic, a homosexual, a murderer.
Right.
You don't know because you're not in control.
Right.
You need someone in control of your lives besides you.
Right.
Somebody besides you, because I'll tell you, I messed mine up.
Right.
It would be stupid not to admit that we mess our lives up.
Right.
And not only that, we mess other people's lives up.
Right.
See? So we don't want to be in control if we're honest with ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, I need you because I'm messing up. I have nothing to fight with. Will you come and will you fight this battle for me? And he'll say, I've been waiting all this time.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will cause you to harm yourself and harm others and cause you to lose precious time that could be used to build good things for the kingdom of heaven that will follow you hereafter.
Right.
So I can just say that if you want to stop the damage that Satan is doing in your life, then Jesus settled that 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And that's all you have to do. Just give him control. He'll come in. He'll wash you clean. Isn't it so nice when you get out of the shower and you're all squeaky clean and you know, if you've been sweaty and hot and you come out and you just feel so good. I can have been worked outside all day and be hot and sweaty and wore plumb out and feel like I just need to go right straight to bed. But I can go take a shower and I come out and I got a renewed energy.
Right.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be so nice to bring our burdens to the Lord?
Amen.
And for him to wash that and for us to raise up from the altar where we've prayed and walk away clean, knowing.
Amen.
I know the people who have given their hearts to the Lord, you experienced that. That there was something, it's like, I can't explain it, but there, I didn't know it, but when I went to the altar, there was a ton of weight on my shoulders.
Right.
And all I know is that when I got up, it was gone. That weight was off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Right? This is real. Amen. Very real.
Right.
Jesus took care of that. He'll wash you clean. And he'll give you a new spirit. Because even the spirit that you have in you as a fallen nature, you can't even get along with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he's promised he will give you a new spirit. And then he'll give you his spirit.
Right.
Amen. You're a new creature.
Right.
That's what it means to be born again. Not that first birth and its sinful desires and hateful desires and it's got Satan controlling it. But a new birth, this time it's a new life. A new life spirit that's put in you that the Holy Spirit can come upon. See, the Holy Spirit cannot light upon the nature of a wolf. The Holy Spirit is the nature of a dove.
Right.
Right? He cannot come, and because a wolf would turn around and roar, right? But God will give you a new nature. He'll take that nature of that wolf out of you and give you a lamb nature.
Amen.
And that dove can come to that lamb.
Right.
Amen. Amen. We can all have freedom today if we want it. So that's the first thing. But the second thing that will keep a person, and this one worse than all of it, and that is false religion.
Right.
Because false religion is a fake covering. The word religion means covering. And all people know, you know, like I said, we all know, everybody knows it's wrong to do the things, sin and so forth, what we call sin. We all know that.
Yeah.
And so when you get a person who believes something and now they've entered into something they believe is a salvation for them, then they become trenched down. They like military armies. They dig ditches and they trench themselves down because it's harder to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to destroy. And so when people come into believing something that's not that's part word, but it's not all word, and it's false, and it's part of that harlot system, and people come into believing that they're digging themselves down in, and they believe that everything is okay. When in actuality, it's not. It's like the prophet was telling us that, you know, in previous ages, You could just be killed by letting it be known you're a Christian because that's the way Satan was working. But nowadays, what Satan is doing is that he's causing people to believe that they're saved when they're really not.
Right.
Because of deception. And so you get someone like that, a religious spirit is one of the hardest things in the world to deal with.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, I've said it many times recently that religious wars are the worst wars.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said the time will come when they will put you to death and think they do God service. You understand what he's saying? A time will come when people are going to kill other people thinking that they're pleasing God by doing it. They're doing service to God by killing someone else. I don't care. You're not.
No.
Right? Even if they disagree with you. But he said that. And he said they will do this because they do not know the Father. They don't know him. They don't know the Father. In other words, they don't know the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they don't know the Word.
Yep. Right.
That's why they do it. And so, that's the nature of those things. And so, when someone gets trenched down into false teaching and false religion, and you can't move them, Jesus said that pertaining, you know, speaking there about the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, "They that are whole need not a physician." Right? What he's saying in essence there is that if you take someone who is well, they're not sick, then they will tell you, "I don't need to go to the doctor." Right? They that are whole need not a physician. But what about someone who's sick and they're denying it? They're in denial. They're sick and they don't know it. They'll say, "I don't need a doctor." Right? And that's the condition that the Pharisees and Sadducees were in. That's the condition that a religious church world is in that's not truly embracing his word. That's their condition. They're entrenched and saying, "There's nothing wrong with us. We are the truth."
Yeah.
And the Baptists say, "We are the truth." And the Methodists say, "We are the truth." And the Lutherans say, "We are the truth." And the Pentecostals say, "We are the truth." But he's the truth.
Yeah, man. Right.
He's the truth. They all say that. And so when you're trying to talk to them, I don't need to talk to me. I know exactly where I'm at. I'm fine. And so that's the condition of this end time. And that's why the Lord said there in his description, his correction for the Laodicean age, he said that, "I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm."
Yeah.
You have some resemblance of Christianity. You're not just flat out a sinner, cold, but you're not on fire for God either. You're somewhere in between. You got a mixture. Oh, you might read your Bible. You might pray every day. We just saw a good example of that. I didn't mind just been hearing about it. Last Sunday with the Super Bowl. Yeah, halftime of representing Christ so much, right? But look what it was. I haven't seen it. Just heard about it. But that's what, well, we're religious. Live like the devil. Drink like the devil. Commit adultery like the devil.
Right.
But sprinkle a little bit of Jesus Christ on it and call it good. And you know that's exactly what they're doing.
Right.
Right?
Exactly right.
And you know that God is calling us out of that kind of thing.
Right. Right?
Right? Amen.
Exactly.
It's exactly what he's doing.
Right.
And so it's harder to get those people to do that. And so when they have rejected the word of God, and you know that God will always give for the day the word they need for the day to overcome in that day. Or else he wouldn't be a very good God, would he? Right? And so in the day when he gives the word you need for your day to overcome in your day, and then you reject part of that word, you have rejected Christ, and you have not access to the blood to forgive your sins. Amen. That's right. So, because they rejected him. See, as I said a while ago, God knows what part of what he is. He knows the word, the part of his body word that he gave out in Luther's day. Like we read the other day, giving out the feet. Right? He knows the part of his word that he gave out with in Pentecost for tongues.
Yeah.
That part of the body that was the mouth. He knows the part of the word that when he gave it out, it produced a prophet for us in this generation, a seer, see visions. And the very next thing after that, God knows what portion of his word that he gives out after this prophetic ministry. He knows that the portion of word that he gives out that represents him and gives us overcoming power for this day is the intellect, the understanding, that which the prophet said was Christ himself.
Right.
Right? Christ himself. The understanding of all these things. In other words, a great revelation at the end time that would by that revelation coming to his church is the fullness of Christ coming into them.
Yeah.
That's what he gives, and to reject that severs the tie between them and the blood of Calvary. Amen.
Right.
So when God would give out, and I'll say it this way, I'm trying to describe it. Let's figure out what these dead spots are with the microphone. You move around in places and it quits talking. It goes silent on. There's several of them. But when God knows, let's say, you know, we're made in his image. So let's say God has feet, he has legs, he has arms, he has all these things. Mm-hmm. So there is a part of the word, as I said a while ago, Luther being the legs or the feet. So there's a word that is the legs or the feet that we know to be the message that God gave Luther, right? So there is a word that represents that, and then the word by itself, the letter, killeth. Right. But there is a spirit that goes with that word that gives it life.
Right?
Right? So you cannot reject the word and get the life for the day. You can't reject the word for Luther's hour and expect to get the overcoming life of Luther's hour because you rejected the very body word that spirit lives in. So it's the same thing today. In the days when God was expressing the Pentecostal move of 1906 and tongues and being expressed, that was a true expression of God. And for that hour, that was a genuine move of God. And there was a word that backed that up, and that you had to accept that word in order to get the life of the Spirit to come in and cause you to act out that very word. So it's the same today. If we want to overcome in this day, we have to accept the word for the day, which comes from the voice of God for the day.
Right.
Amen? And that brings the spirit of that life to bring it to where we can become overcomers for the day. People cannot have the spirit of rapture if they reject the word that brings that rapture.
Right? Yeah.
Right? So it's the voice of the word, the voice of God in this last day. That's where a lot of these thoughts came from, was the sermon Brother Branham preached, the voice of God in the last days. The voice brings the word, and the word brings the spirit of it. Can't have one without the other. That's a big mistake that people make, even Pentecostals. They might have tongues, and they might have prophecies and all kinds of healings and stuff like that, but if they deny word, then there's a problem there. Mm-hmm. Amen. So God had to bring a message that says, come out of her, my people. Mm-hmm. And so the message, come out of her, my people, that word brings the life to give you the ability to come out. If you reject the word of it, you're rejecting the life that's going to make it possible for you to come out. In other words, if you say, well, that's not really what God means. He doesn't mean I really have to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. It's okay to, if you reject that, then you rejected the word that gives you the overcoming power of the day, and you're going to stay. And we know that devils travel in trinities, in the Trinity.
Right.
And so to believe that, you know, God winked at things in previous days. He did. He winked at it because he knows the church didn't know. But once he gives that out, and he gives that out with a powerful ministry of demonstrating the presence of God, now he holds the church accountable.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit can no longer be with them because they rejected the furtherance of the word, and so devils come and take the place of where the Holy Spirit would have been.
Right.
Amen. It kind of comes right down, brings you right down to where the rubber meets the road. But the last time I checked, that's exactly where the friction is that keeps you on the road and traveling in the right direction.
Yeah.
That rubber's got to contact the road, or we're in trouble. Amen. So the message that comes, it has come to bring us out of her, my people, is to remove all the influence that came from her. Both physically, spiritually, mentally. So it brings this come out of her, my people, message that has come in this day. It has through that angel before it also brings to us this understanding of who this false woman church system is, why she's rejected, why did God say, I'm going to judge her? Well, because she's a harlot.
Yeah.
Right? He tells us not to marry a harlot. He's not going to marry one. So this entire message will show who she is, why she's rejected, what her judgment is, what she's got coming to her, and her daughters, because it says her daughters too. But then also how to escape it. How to get free of it. How that we no longer are influenced physically and mentally and spiritually from that system, which is the whole world.
Right?
The whole world.
Man.
See, the scripture says that all the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. All the kings. Well, kings are over nations. Right, all these leaders, presidents, all that. You know, it says she sets on seven hills, and we always think, well, Rome sets on seven hills. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's seven continents, and they're hills. Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church is over all of it. Every nation, every continent.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
So it's compound meaning, compound revelation. But every nation, so every... all the kings, all the systems, all the governments of the world have committed fornication with her.
Right.
So they're guilty of this act. You know, there was a movie years ago, Joan of Arc. Some of you have seen it probably. And there was a line in there where the king in there was talking to this bishop. And the king was saying, I need more taxes. I don't have enough money. I need more taxes. But if I put more taxes on the people, they might rebel. I'm just going by memory of how to describe what I got from that. Okay, might not be perfect wording, but you know, if they rebel, if I put more taxes on them, you know, because I think the bishop said, well, just put more taxes on. Well, I can't, you know, and I forget the conversation, but there was something the king said there. He said, well, you know, all I can do as a king, all I can do is threaten the people with death. But you can threaten them with purgatory. You can threaten them with what happens after this life. And so you understand that the people who can get a religious deception over the people, they have much more power over them in a religious sense,
right,
than any government would ever do in a natural sense.
Right?
Right? Because people say, you can kill me, but I'm going to stay over here so my soul is saved, right? And so that's what I'm talking about. The kings of the earth, you know, they crave power. And they look over at this system and they're like, oh, I wish I had that kind of influence. I wish I had that kind of power, right? And, you know, it's political, right? It's demonic, but it's political. And so political leaders who don't have the Holy Ghost, which I doubt there's any of them knew, they crave more popularity and more power and more strength, and they look over and they think, you know what? I think that if I get in cahoots with this religious system, it'll fortify myself. I'll have more control and more power. And so they all join in because of the great power of this great whore church system. And so they've all been guilty of accepting and intermingling and working in such a way that that system endorses them and they endorse that system. So they're all guilty.
Yep.
And we're raised up in underneath all that, receiving that influence, and God says, I've got to get you out of that.
Right.
I've got to get you out of that influence. How am I going to do it? It's going to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring back to the church the voice of God.
Amen.
To do that. Amen. So that's what the end time message is. It brings us. That's exactly what God has promised for our day, and that's exactly what he raised up. I heard this said one time, and it's actually true. Jesus came to die for our sins. We all say amen to that. Then he sent William Branham to tell us how, what the truth is. He sent that prophet to get us back in fellowship with that true God, because that fellowship had been broken through a bunch of denominational ages. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus died for our sins, and he sent an end time promised prophetic ministry at the end to get us back on track. Amen.
Yeah.
And by doing that, that gives us full access to Jesus Christ. That's a wife. Only the wife has full access to the man. Right? Only the wife. Amen. Gives full access to him, brings the marriage of the Lamb, empowers us to make ourselves ready. And on the adoption of sons thing, it gives us the ability to become adopted sons. Gives us the ability to manifest sonship. So this voice here at the end time comes to show us what our errors are, to get us back. I appreciate the sister's special song and the words she said in front of it, because that's exactly what it is. God trying to get us back on track.
Right.
It's exactly what he's doing. Amen. So he has to come and show us what the errors are, and show us that we were part of or part of that system, and that we must get out of that system and get that system out of us. You know, the children of Israel, when they come out of Egypt, you've heard it. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in their heart. Right? So God would come along and tell us this system is fallen and tell us the truth that we need to come out of it. And then we have to make a choice to come out. And by doing that, we're clothing ourselves with his word, becoming the bride. Right?
Yeah.
And so, but we can't, and this is, I hope this is a home run with everybody to strike home with you, is this, that you can't just come out physically and then in your heart, you're all the time wishing you can still be part of it, or you can still,
right?
You can't just come out physically, but in your private secret life, you're still in it.
Yeah.
You're still accessing it. You're still thinking about it. Right? And see, these things pack spirits. And spiritual things, you don't just walk away from it easily.
Right.
It takes the presence of God to break the anointing of a false spirit off of you.
Right.
You can't just decide one day, I'm done with that. God has to do that. He has to break those things from you. And it's kind of types like marriage. It is. It's a marriage. That we know that our first nature is our first husband, right? And he must die before we can be married to Christ. That first husband has to be dead. And so he has to die out to sin so we can be married to Christ. We understand that? And that takes, dying is not easy. That's why, you know, people can hear our message and say, you know I should go to the altar. I know I should repent. I know I should give my heart. And they don't do it because it's not easy. Because it's a death. Nobody wants to come to death. But yet, we know as sinners that we need to do that. So it's, you know, death is not easy. And neither is a birth. But they're both necessary.
Right?
Pain involved in both.
Right.
But we got to do it. And so, we need God to help us overcome these things. And so when he gives us these truths and he brings these things out and we see it in the word, then we want to embrace it and not reject it. Even if we can't quite understand it, if we see it in the word, we want to accept it. because that gives the Holy Spirit time to come and work on behalf of that to rid you from the spirit that would disbelieve those things in the first place. Amen. So God has promised that he would restore his voice here back in our day. Amen. And I have a sheet of quotes here from the voice of God in the last days, and I won't read it, but I will tell you that some of the things Brother Branham said, and you can read it if you want to. But basically, Brother Branham said, there are so many voices. This goes with our sister there. So many things. There's so many voices.
Right.
And go listen to it. There's a voice of politics. There's a voice of religion.
Right.
There's a voice of this, a voice of that. There's a voice of Hollywood.
Right.
All of those are voices. And those voices are so loud and they're so screaming. And they are there trying to drown out the voice of God. He actually says that a couple of times there. That's the whole thing. And he says, since God has promised that he would give us that voice, his voice in the last day, then, and all these other voices, if they're contrary to the voice of God, then it must be the voice of the enemy sent to confuse us, that we would not understand the voice of God when it speaks.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Right.
So you're in a crowd of people and you're trying to talk to somebody right at the table and you can't even hear what they're saying.
Right.
Or they crank up some music or something. They're trying to drown that out.
Right.
That's why in a restaurant, I'm like, would you turn the thing down? I'm here to have supper with my wife. I want to be able to talk to her.
Yeah.
Right? But no, they crank that up. You know why? Because that other life, they like that loud music and all that stuff, right? Because it's a different life.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But that's what it's there for, is to bring. And so there's all these different voices, a false voice of culture and politics and religion, science, traditions, peer pressure, all of those things. They're voices to try and drown out. And so that you pay attention to them and you hear them 24/7 and you're feeding on them 24/7. And while you're doing that, you're not hearing the voice of God that has been sent to tell you how to get out of this place
right,
clean and clear in this day at the end of our, you understand? And so that's the things that are there. All these different voices. But God has promised to bring back his voice to the church. And that voice has come, and that voice has told us that every government is of the devil. Every worldly government is of the devil. It's controlled by him. Right?
Right.
Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus didn't rebuke him and say, no, you don't have those. You can't give those because you don't have them. No, Satan is in control of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so he controls all the governments of the world. He controls all the denominations of the world. Because the denominations are believing things that aren't word. There's only one sect or group of people that Satan will not be able to control that will become an invincible army. And that is that one church who accepts the entire word and rejects nothing. Nothing of Christ will she reject. Amen.
Right.
So that angel that came, mighty voice, and his light in the whole earth, and he told us Babylon's fallen, that governments that's all in cahoots with all that is fallen, denominations which are the daughters is fallen. He said all the holidays are corrupt, all the traditions are corrupt.
Right.
They've all been corrupted by that system.
Right.
And he's got a voice here telling us, these things are wrong. Come out of those things.
Right.
He talks in here about, he just gives examples there, and he's like, we've got Hollywood. Hollywood's a great voice. Something goes on in Hollywood, next thing you know, it's everywhere. Everybody's doing it, following, paying attention to it. That's right. Until this week, I never knew there was anybody called Bad Bunny or something. Never heard of it. And I'm glad. Right? And I don't know what the other guys from Turning Point USA did. I don't remember what his name is either. But Hollywood has something, or the music industry has something, and the whole world feeds on it.
Right.
And the prophet said that that is taking them to Armageddon.
Right.
Right? That influence on their mind and on their life is making them and bringing them to the place where they happily go down to fight against God, and they're destroyed there. Bringing them to Armageddon. Prophet talked about it way down in Africa, out in the middle of the bush. And here's African people out here, and they got a little boom box listening to Pat Boone or Elvis Presley or something like that. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
He telling us back then what this was, what was going on there. So he tells us those things. And so he says, we got Hollywood. And he said, and he just gives one example, okay? But he says, we got this Hollywood play called Gunsmoke. And the fellow that plays that, this Arnaz guy, he represents Matt Dillon, who was a sheriff in Kansas. And Matt Dillon was as yellow as a rabbit. He shot 28 men in the back, innocent people going out of Dodge City and waiting in an ambush. He's telling about the real Matt Dillon. And he's saying, here now Hollywood comes along and glorifies Matt Dillon. Makes him like some great big, you know. And he said he wasn't. Right? This is what he's telling us. And he said, why, it's absolutely glorifying sin. And he says, but the little children in our country can tell you more about Matt Dillon than they can tell you about Jesus.
Right.
There's the problem.
Yeah, right.
He talks about how you can go to a store and you can get all these little hats and guns. And he says, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the kids having, right? But that influence.
Right.
Causing them, and they're all, you know, it's all about Hollywood and that influence taken away from Jesus Christ.
Right.
The one, the only one that should receive honor and glory is given to someone else.
Right.
And he says commercialism has picked up on it, and they make millions. Didn't the scripture say that the merchants of the earth were waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies?
Yeah, right.
Why? Because they become rich with her holidays and her traditions and all the systems that she cranks out.
Right.
The merchants become filthy rich. Why? Because all these people are listening to all these different voices, and they go right on with it. Go on and purchase all this stuff and go do these things. They make millions of dollars off of it. We have what we call St. Patrick's Day, and we have what we call these religious holidays, and the commercial world has picked up on it, and they make millions of dollars. And Mother's Day, a bunch of flowers. But you know what he said about Mother's Day? Why, every day should be honorable to Mother's Day. If she's off somewhere, go see her. That'll be worth more to her than any of the flowers or anything else can be.
Yep.
Right? And Brother Man says, but they, talking about the world and, you know, church world too, they pick it up. It's a voice. And we blend right in with it.
Yep.
And he said, and really, it's not right. It's not right that we do that. And Brother Man says, I'm trying to get to a point here to tell you something, what I believe. And that the voice is rare. The voice of God is rare.
Right.
Why? Because it's so drowned out with everything else. It's so rare. As we find out that they set the pace. These voices, they set the pace, and people just go right with it. He said, did you ever notice our young boys has become Ricky and Elvis? If you've got a child named that, change it right quick. Call him number one or number two or something.
Yeah.
Don't call him Ricky and don't call him Elvis, right? And he explains here. This might shock you here in a minute. I know most of you heard at least part of this, but probably one part you hadn't heard. Call him number one or two or something, and you say, what difference does a name mean? You might say that. What difference does a name mean? Why, sure, it means something.
Yep.
He goes into the Bible how that the different people in the Bible had God changed their names, right?
Right.
Abraham Abram to Abraham. Sarai to Sarah, right? Saul to Paul.
Right.
Simon to Peter.
Yeah, exactly.
Those, see? Because he goes on and explains it. He talks about that. What difference does it make? Why, sure, it means something. He says, your name characterizes your life. Now, Brother Brandon, you're on numerology. No, I'm not. And this is the part you may not have ever heard. No, I'm not. I'm on Thus Saith the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
And Ricky and Elvis and such names as that, yeah, is an American name, which throws the child automatically right into that. See what I mean? And he goes to say a little more, and he says, well, I better not go any further, because get out to a place where you wouldn't understand what he's talking about. But you see what he's saying. And I say this because I've witnessed in my own life that people in the message, and they have a child, and they name the child, and I'm like,
right.
They're not even listening to the prophet.
No, right.
They're not even paying attention.
Right.
And it throws a nature on that child that's contrary.
Right.
No. So what am I trying to get at? This brother, what Brother Bram's trying to get at. What am I trying to get at? What I'm trying to get at is God sent a voice, the voice of God, back in this day.
That's right.
That's telling us things like this, and people aren't listening.
That's right.
They're still doing things that's part of that system and have not come out, and now they're still reaping the death that comes from that. Right? Amen. That's exactly right. That's what I'm trying to get at. Lord help us.
Right?
Amen. Lord help us. Amen. It says Babylon is fallen. Every government, every denominational holiday tradition is all corrupt. And how are they corrupt? They're corrupt by taking part of the word of God and then mixing it with other word. Because remember, they all knew in the beginning that it was one God, and then they started going away from it, mixing it. We come along, and even inside the message, a truth comes, and maybe people embrace it for a while, and then they begin to mix something with it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And it makes it a hybrid religion. When you mix God's word with something else, it makes it a hybrid religion.
Right.
And therefore, no longer the original word.
Amen.
And if the original word, it's been changed, then you don't get the results of the original word. Okay. And it causes people to believe that it's okay to be part of those systems. That's what the whole thing is. All these voices. It's like, well, it's not a problem to do that. It's okay. I'll say this, and I know probably we have some here, and I'm not saying this, I know this probably would not offend you, but if a believer, from what I hear, if a believer watched halftime, I doubt him being a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they watched it and fed on that.
Yeah.
So, because if it's what I've been hearing, you would turn that off immediately and get away from it.
Right, absolutely.
Right? Amen. So, and I'm not, this has been on my heart long before halftime last week, whatever. Causes people to believe it's okay to still be part of these other things and still be in false beliefs and worships and actions and so forth. And the voices come in this last day to show us that it's not okay.
Right.
That God is calling us into perfect word.
Amen.
So God has promised to bring his voice back, and I for one believe that the bride believes it. Yes. And I'll tell you this, it is the voice of the resurrection.
Right. Amen.
It is the voice that brings rapture.
Right.
It is the voice that brings them out of the graves.
Yes.
It is the voice that will do what you and I look forward to. Amen. It's the same voice that says, stop sinning and turn around and start serving me. Thank God for that. It is the voice of the resurrection.
Right.
And so I'll end by saying this. I believe the bride, once she knows these things, she understands this, she will start reducing the voices, the other voices in her life,
absolutely,
so she can start listening more closely,
right,
to his voice.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Let's let Brother Tim come. We love him.
Amen.
There is one present today who can set all of us free from any of our bondage that Satan would throw on us, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental. We just have to come to him and ask him.
Yes.
We sing that song, "He Was There All the Time."
Right.
And I like that song because it's the truth.
That's right.
He's there. I've been there all that time, just waiting patiently in line. Amen. And I'm not asking Brother Tim to sing that. You can sing whatever you feel comes on your heart. But I am thankful for what God has done in our day. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, as we've shared this morning what you put on my heart, Lord, and no doubt this is not the last of this little series. But Lord, I pray that as each time as we speak on these things, that your people become more fortified to understand what it is that the bride must do in this hour. Lord, you have, as we would say, pulled out all stops. You have brought forth the word that will give our bodies a change from mortality into immortality. And Lord, it's my desire that every one of us, Lord, be able to be partakers of that. That when that fateful morning comes, Lord, we'll all be together there. And what a rejoicing that will be. Lord, I just commit this time and this service, these people, into your hands and everything that's said and done. Lord, if it's anything's been confusing, bring clarity, Lord, to it. We love you, Lord. We know that you're the one that dissolves all doubts. So we commit this time into your hands and ask you in Jesus' name. Side of it there. My aunt's here. She knows. I was crawling up underneath there. Could have been steak bit, whatever. But I just remember being under there and beginning to call out to the Lord to help me. Mm-hmm. And I probably was 4, maybe 3. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing the folks talk about in reading the Bible, the moon turned to blood, and one night the moon come up and it had that red color to it. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, "I ain't ready, Lord." I'm thankful,
right,
for God speaking to the heart of individuals.
Amen. That's right.
And that's where it starts. They speak into your heart. Don't resist it.
That's right.
It starts. You know, a journey of 10,000 miles starts with one step.
Right.
And you may look at that and say, "I don't know. I've been like this for so long, I don't know how I would ever be a Christian. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Just take one small step and say, Lord, help me.
Right.
And if you do that in total sincerity of your heart based upon the Word of God,
right,
He will reciprocate with you. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. I had one more thing I just wanted to say. You know, the prophet told us that the best thing that God can give man is salvation. Mm-hmm. And then he said the next thing, good thing, the next best thing he can give a man outside of salvation was a good wife.
Yeah. Right.
I looked it up, you know, and my first day in church was 12,761 days ago from right now. Almost 35 years, 34.9 something years. And I made a decision, I will be in church this Sunday because God had been dealing with my heart. And so I did. And I have not regretted that. That's where God gave me the best gift that He could ever give me, and that was salvation.
Right.
12,761 days ago. But you know, 14,610 days ago, which was 480 months, it's a long time, which is 40 years ago today, He gave me the second part.
That's right.
So today is my wife and I's 40th anniversary. And I can say that she's a wonderful example and a helpmate. I know that my life has been enhanced greatly, probably totally different than it would have been otherwise. Of course, you don't know because God has His hands on your life, but He certainly blessed me. You know, I was born January 1st, and then 4 days later, she was born. And we kind of joke about it, you know, the Lord said, okay, I got him, now I got to go to work on it. Always help me. And so I love the way she loves our children and our grandchildren and our family and our church family.
Right.
I watch it, and it's special. You know, I'm sure that each of you husbands can look at your wives and say the same thing. And, you know, I hope someday that I can be as good at my job as she is at hers. But that's why the Lord gives us a helpmate. So I just want to say thank you, sweetie, for being what you are for all of us.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So God bless you.
Without Him, I